Great music and talk. Great music and talk. Great music and talk. Great music and talk.
The Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on campusesradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 26th of April. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and I'm joined by the absolutely gorgeous Julie Anderson.
Morning, Kent.
Hello. Afternoon.
Oh, okay.
they'll think you were in early.
Yes, I was up you, early, 6 you, o'clock.
You were in early, weren't you?
Yeah, and rehearsing my lines.
Absolutely, and you have been up a while. You've been doing a bit of networking in Croydon, I think.
Yep, I went to Croydon, Constructing Excellence Croydon, to find out what's going on there.
And was it good?
Yeah, very good. There's loads going on in Croydon, so anybody looking for business needs to get their name out in Croydon.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Julie, and helping me out with today's show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much. I'd like to just say a big thank you as well to today's show sponsor. And today's show sponsor is the Dom Education Group. Dom Education Group.
Apt.
Yeah. Domeg.co.uk. Do check them out and have a look at them and see what they do. And a big thank you to them.
Yeah. Sponsors.
You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways, and we'd love to hear from you, the businesses out there in Southeast England. And this is how you can get hold of us. You can ring me, and you can ring me on 01 304 998. That's 01 304 974 998, or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. but by far and away the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at Vanilla Web. We have already had 9,873,963 trillion emails. And I will read one or two of them in a moment. But I tell you what, Julie, do you want to start off by reading one of your emails for us?
Yes, I've got some great emails today. First of all, I'm going to start with a clue. Are you in or are you out? What's it about?
Ah, that will be about Europe.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I can't answer.
No. Well, we might have to reveal it. Because
I've got to be neutral this week. I do know which way I'm going to vote, but I'm being neutral this week because I'm actually presenting something. Is that what you're going to tell us about?
Yeah. Are you planning to influence the whole of Kent then?
No. I've just got to be neutral for that evening.
I'm not neutral. So we've got the EU debate with Daniel Hannan, MEP for the South East of England, and Peter Fleming, OBE and leader of Sevenoaks District Council. They've got an event on the 28th of April, that's this Thursday, 7 till 10 o'clock at the Space Sevenoaks School in Sevenoaks. If you want any information on this, it's the website, thespacesevenoaks.co.uk, what's on. We are delighted to confirm the participation of Daniel Hannan, MEP of the South East of England, and Councillor Fleming.
Actually, that changed.
Oh, is it not him?
No, Pete's not coming now. No, we've got...
He's gone out.
He's gone on holiday. No, leading the panel for the Remain side is a chap called Hugo Dixon. And Hugo is very well known for writing a very well-received book on why we should stay in the European Union. So Hugo's going to lead the Remain side, and Dan Hannan's going to lead the Leave side, and there are a panel made up on each side of two local business people, two from the Stay and two from the Go campaign.
Ah, well, it's going to be a lively discussion, I'm sure, to represent both sides of the in or out conclusion. The evening will be compared by some unknown bloke called Paul Andrews, CEO of, owner of Jobs in Kent Business Radio, very passionate about supporting SMEs on their journey to success, and is an experienced presenter and compare of everything, really. The evening is intended to be interactive, so please go, cause a riot. And what would be great, I think, is if people of Kent could start tweeting in or out what they're thinking. Then we might get some kind of poll going on.
Absolutely, yeah.
So tweet us.
It could be interesting. Yeah,
in or
give
out.
It a go. Tweet, in or out. Just tweet, in or out.
Yep.
Or shake it all about if you're undecided.
Or anything you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I always, when as soon as we start talking about this, I always want to start singing Clash songs. You know, should we stay or should we go? It's just one of those things.
I just don't think it's clear about what's going to affect us if we're in or out. And because now they're trying to scaremonger us with America.
Mm.
Telling us what to do. Well, America aren't in it, so I'm not really too sure what they're saying anything for.
I'm not being drawn into this for the simple reason, as I've said twice already. I have to remain steadfastly neutral in this. I do have my own opinions, and as you can probably imagine, they're quite severe, because my opinions normally are. But I'm trying really, 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 really hard to be neutral until 10 o'clock on Thursday night when the debate has finished.
Yeah, well, so just to remind everyone in Kent, if you want to go along to the debate, 28th of April, 7 till 10 at the Seven Oaks School.
And there aren't many tickets left. It's actually a sellout. The last time I looked, there were over 300 tickets sold. So.
Oh, it's going to be a Kent
riot. And the tickets are free, I might add, so there's no cost involved. Cool. And that's the Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce. And fantastic job done by Andrea Starbuck and the team there, Julie, and all the team at Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce for getting this on the road.
Yeah.
Well done. I've got a tweet. To call it a tweet is a misnomer because it's actually about a book, really. It's about 4 pages long. So they sent it to me as a DM, which is the only way they could do it. But I'm happy to read it out. And it's from the Eden Valley Chamber. And it says, hello, Paul. Can you give a shout out, please, about our next networking event on Thursday, the 12th of May at the Eden Centre in Edenbridge? And it's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're delighted to announce that MP Tom Tugendhat and Simone Sawain of Home Instead Senior Care are hosting this networking event with a difference. Tom and Simone will be running a short presentation on dementia and encouraging businesses to gain recognition as working to become dementia friendly. We hope to get lots of businesses signed up for this initiative and to make the Eden Valley one of the most dementia-friendly towns in the country to do business in. Listeners can follow us on our Twitter handle, which is @EVChamber. That's @EVChamber, where details will be posted this afternoon on how to register. Thank you. And that's from Laura Burton Lawrence with her chamber hat on, it says here.
Oh, that's really nice, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so do get along tonight if you're a business in West Kent. That is, let me do that again, 12th of May, 6 p.m. in the evening at the Eden Centre in Edenbridge. And I know Tom Tugendhat, a really good guy, really good local MP. I don't know Simone, but I'm sure she's brilliant too. Do get along to hear them about dementia in the workplace.
That would be quite difficult though, wouldn't it?
It would.
Do they mean employ people?
I guess so. I guess so.
Well, they've already got me at my place.
It's interesting, actually. We're going to talk to Joanne Fowler later from local colleges over there. And one of the colleges that she's involved with, West Kent College, is a college that I've had some stuff to do with in their special needs unit, because I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and we spend a lot of time with those guys trying to talk about how on earth we get young deaf adults into work experience. You know, most of them are more than bright enough, more than capable enough. There are problems because most people were diagnosed deaf at later stages. So they have a lot of catching up to do. And of course, you know, learning to read and write is harder for them. But they get there eventually, and they're as bright as any other person in the community. But it's difficult. It's difficult finding work experience for anyone. When you start to look for work experience for people with disabilities and special issues, it becomes harder. It can be done. It certainly can be done. I used to be a volunteer for a South London charity, wait for this, that found work for ex-offenders with mental health issues.
Cool.
So if you were in desperate need of an axe murderer, I could provide one. Seriously.
This is a different business.
No, seriously. one of my client group came to me, Alex.
If there's anyone in Kent wanting an axe murderer, exactly. Paul Andrews in a tutu do it.
Alex came to me one day. I've changed his name to protect the innocent and the guilty and me. He came to me one day and he went, you told me to be honest in my CV. And I went, yes. He said, well, I have, and everybody keeps rejecting me. So I said, well, what did you put? And he showed me his CV, and it went, an annihilator, and then registered die, I stabbed her, and then I pleaded guilty anyway, and I did 12 years. And I went, yeah, well, when I said be honest, I just meant that you'd serve time. Not, yeah. I didn't ask describe you to describe how you did it and why you did it and whose fault it was, which was a bit of a laugh. But, yeah, people have talents.
Yeah.
All people have talents, and they have worth and value and use to society. The task is to put those together. And I'm sure with dementia, it's challenging. It's going to be challenging to find people. But I suspect that as much as trying to find people with dementia paid jobs, and I'm not a medical person, so I don't know, but dementia appears to be an affliction of people as they get older.
Yeah, yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not convinced that they're particularly looking to find work for people with dementia. It's probably to make businesses more friendly.
Yeah, maybe they're asking for businesses to kind of make a regular donation.
Yeah, or just to be able to handle people with dementia from a business point of view.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean, if someone with dementia going into a shop wants to do something, you know, you can get impatient with people if they seem to be not on the ball, if you see what I mean. I'll give you a classic example of a reverse situation with the Kent Deaf Children's Society. One of the things we did is we looked at having pop-up cafes. And what we did is the kids worked in the cafe, okay, all deaf kids. And we had boards up, and you could only order in sign language. So if you wanted coffee or chocolate or cake or biscuits.
Yeah, but not everybody knows that.
No, but it's on the board.
Oh.
So basically, we had boards made with the right signs for whatever you wanted, yeah? And people would come in, and they had to order using the sign language, which was brilliant because the kids thought it was hilarious, yeah? And they go, you want a kangaroo? Why do you want a kangaroo? But it leveled the playing field, and people enjoyed it. People liked it because they were doing something different. Yeah. So, you know, and the whole thing became a laugh.
Yeah.
And it just kind of worked. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you kind of,
this reminds me of when I went to Italy once, and I decided I was going to get through by having a phrase book.
Right.
So I needed another pillow in my bedroom. So I looked up the word pillow and went downstairs and ordered a kitchen.
I'm sure they delivered it.
Yeah, he looked at me like I was bad. But that's the start of it.
Oh, funnily enough, Laura has just tweeted again. She said, yes, basically for all that waffle, Paul. yeah, we're looking for some employees, but really it's about dealing with customers who are living with dementia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're running a business, how do you deal with a customer that has dementia? Oh, good. Ah, nice. Right, I've also had dozens of other tweets, so I'm going to read a couple more tweets. We've had the it's obviously West Kent Day today for some reason. The Chidding Fest. Hold on. This is a bit complicated, this Twitter handle. It's Chidlit Fest. That's not an easy thing to say. Chidlit Fest. You could get in trouble with that as well, couldn't you? It says, Business Bunker, Paul, don't miss the first ever, in big letters, the first ever literary festival at Chiddingston Castle this bank holiday. And then they give me a link to a website, but Twitter have kindly shortened it, so I can't read it. And it just says top authors. So I happen to know that that's at Penshurst Place that that's taking place. So I suggest you give them a follow on the Twitter. And their Twitter handle is Chid, C-H-I-D-D, L-I-T-F-E-S-T, Chid Lit Fest on the Twitter. Give them a follow. I'll get over to Penshurst Place on, is it next Monday, bank holiday? Yeah, it is, Monday.
Yep. Yes,
yeah.
Day off.
Absolutely. So there's that. And then I've also had, oh, okay, we'll just stick to West Kent. Sevenoaks Festival, apparently.
Ah, more on Sevenoaks.
Yeah, it's all happening over there this week, isn't it? Mm. Is it National Sevenoaks Week or something?
No, I think it's because we've got Craig in.
Do you reckon?
Fan club,
Everybody's seen that Craig's here, so they've gone, do you know what?
Team Craig.
We'll tweet in. It says, Vanilla Web, that's me, just under 8 weeks till the Seven Oaks Festival. There's a full e-brochure available at our website, which is sevenoaksfestival.org.uk. sevenoaksfestival.org.uk. Do have a look at that.
Is that a good festival?
Don't know.
Yes, it's normally excellent.
Ah.
Cool.
We'll go then. As it's good, we'll go.
Everyone, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Bank Holiday Monday.
And we've had a tweet from Cascade Insurance. Vanilla Webb, we'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker Show, please. We will be at the Kent B2B show in Ashford today, and we're looking forward to meeting lots of our Twitter friends there.
Oh, yeah. Good luck to all those people down there. Kent B2B, I'm at the dinner tonight.
Yeah, are you? Yeah, yeah. Lisa at Telcare and all the folks are over there. Cascade Insurance are over there. New Appointments Group. They're all there. No one's listening to us. They're all at the show.
Yeah, you're not tweeting in or out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on.
Yeah, well, that's because they're probably all at the show. And I'm going to do one last tweet before we play a bit of tunage. And this is from Amwen Cooper. And she's got an event, which is the Get Fruitful Marketing Playbook Preview Brunch and Networking. And there's an Eventbrite link where you can go and look at what's going on here. But it's an event that I happen to know, because I'm going, that's taking place at Teaston at the Bar and Court. Yep, just outside Maidstone in a couple of weeks' time. And the best way to find out about it is to follow Amwen on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is Get Fruitful Now. All one word, Get Fruitful Now.
Should be Get Fruity.
I did suggest that to her, and she slapped me. no idea why. We've got Networking in Kent have said hi, and I'm moaning about the potholes. Quite right, too. They're absolutely dangerous.
If you tweet the council at KCC Highways, they're amazing. They tweet you back when they're going to fix your pothole.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, I tweeted KCC Highways here and they said, stop moaning, send it to a highway southeast.
Oh, well, I'm always complaining about potholes and they fix them.
Oh, blimey. Did you see, no, I'm not even going to go there. Did you see that bloke that managed to find a way of getting them fixed quite quickly?
No.
By painting things around the outside of them.
Oh,
did you
he?
See that on
no.
Facebook? It was quite fun. I can't do it on the radio. He painted certain images around the potholes, so the council were forced to come out and fix them. What else have we got? Supply My Business have tweeted in, enjoying the show. Hope you've got cake.
Oh, no, we haven't, Martin.
No. And my friend, my lovely friend, Penny Williams, I'm doing the moonwalk for breast cancer charities.
Oh, well done, Penny.
Yeah, it's moonwalklondon2016.everydayhero.com/UK/penny-6 is where you donate to sponsor her. And she says, thank you for your support. I think it's probably easier to find that link in two ways. You can find it by following Penny on the Twitter, which is Penny_Williams. Or you can look at the kentbusinessradio.co.uk community page, where we will put that link. What do you reckon?
Yeah. I saw Penny the other day. She looks amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nice one, Penn. Well done. Do you know what? We're going to play some tunage now. And 2016 has been a bit of a...
Prince?
I'm just predictable, so I just thought...
Oh, lovely.
Bit of Purple Rain, I thought. Why not?
Love him.
Yeah.
Good night.
I never meant to call you when you sorrow. I never meant to call you when you pain. I don't want to want that I see laughing.
friend.
And quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com.
RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTresearch.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Julie Anderson. That was a bit of a tribute to Prince. I'm sure we've all heard Purple Rain quite a bit just recently, but it's worth another play always. A very, very talented man and sorely missed. Right, what have we got going on? There's a curry club happening tonight. Ooh. If you want to get down there, and it's at the Raj Bari. We're back to Sevenoaks again.
Oh, no. Craig, you're a bit tedious now. Yeah, he's done this, hasn't he? Craig's done this. I'm sure he has.
He's got all of his mates to go. I'm on the radio next week.
Who knows, Craig?
You all need to email in and tweet in and Facebook in and LinkedIn. Anyway, there's a curry club night tonight, Tuesday the 26th of April at the Raj Bari, 6pm to 8pm. Please join us for an evening of business networking at the Raj Bari Tubbs Hill in Sevenoaks. Join the Chamber of Commerce team and members for a relaxed and informal evening with great food and a glass of wine or beer or a soft drink for the all-inclusive price of £16.95 for non-members plus administration fees. We hope you can join us. You can book by going to eventbrite.co.uk/e-curry-club-open-networking, and I'm sure you'll remember that and book. So cool. Have a curry at the Raj Bari. It is nice, the Raj Bari, though, I have to say.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, it is. Julie.
Yes.
An email, please.
Oh, another one.
Yeah.
Well, here's an email. This is a support training for SMEs from MVE. So we've had an email from Georgia Smith, and she is the training coordinator at North Kent Training Service, part of the Medway Voluntary Action. They're a non-for-profit organisation with a primary mission of supporting the voluntary and community sector. However, they are extending their training supports to other sectors, and there's two support sessions which could be of use to small businesses in Kent. An overview of outcome-based commissioning. There's a seminar on the 28th of April, 1 till 3 o'clock. And effective bid writing or responding to tenders training session on the 17th of May, 9:30 to 4:30. definitely something for the construction industry, that, because they're a nightmare, those bids. Both sessions are being led by Mark Napier, MD of Centre for Public Innovation. He advises and supports commissioners on implementing effective commissioning, so he's perfectly placed to give insight and advice to local businesses on how it works for them. The training sessions will be held at the offices of MVA Chatham, and if you're looking for any more information, email georgia@mva.org.uk, or the website is NK, N for nutty, K for kite, T for top, S for sugar.
You're as bad as Jules.
.co.uk.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Making up your own phonetic alphabet.
I am, yeah. I don't know the police thing.
Do you know what? This never ceases to amaze me how I get caught with things like this. I just said about 15 minutes ago, right, Tom Tuggenhat, the MP, and a lady called Simone, who I've never met, and somebody has just tweeted, they went, oh, yes, you have. We have a picture of you two together.
Uh-huh.
And they have. They just tweeted a picture of me and Simone. I cannot deny it. I have, in fact, I apologise profusely, Simone. How I can forget you? Lovely. I don't know, but I didn't remember that. What was it George Bush used to say? I misremembered that or something.
I don't know. I obviously misremembered that. I'm far too young.
Yeah. I must remember to keep my mouth shut, because as soon as I say anything on here, somebody goes, mm-mm, you're wrong, and here's the evidence. Blimey. Thanks for that, Laura. We've had a tweet from Lee Willis, who runs the Ancorians Football Club, not in West Kent. They're in Gillingham. The Ancorians Football Club is a community football club. They're a fantastic organisation. They are a KCFA accredited community football club and an FA accredited community football club. They run something like 22 teams. They run teams for boys and girls, men and women, adults, disabled teams, all kinds of special needs teams, anything. Anything you could possibly think of, they run a team for it. Except for one thing. And they're just about to start this just for me, because I'm an old codger. Okay. It says, Lee says, Business Bunker, Kent Business Radio, Vanilla Web, all of you, walking football is coming to Ancorians Football Club.
Oh, just that's for you, those Paul. Of us that can't be bothered to run.
Exactly, yeah. If you want to know more, contact me at Lee, L-E-I-G-H, J-W. That's Lee, J-W, L-E-I-G-H, J-W. That's walking football coming to Ancorians Football Club. Remember, just for me. The trouble is, I used to play football when I was younger to a reasonable level, and last year, in Sevenoaks, they made me play in a football tournament. And I did manage to last
not
the whole
tournament. Not the veterans one, was it?
No, it wasn't veterans. I could have managed that, maybe. Or super veterans.
Super vets?
Super vets, yeah. Those of us that have reached such an age that we can't even get in the vets team. Yeah. But this was, you know, this was with young people. And I managed to play the entire tournament. And it took me about 7 months to recover. So I was moaning quite a lot that I wanted to play walking football if I was going to do anything. So the lovely folks of Ancorians, just for me, have started a walking football team. So there's me. I just need 10 more of you at least to join in. So thanks for that, Lee. What else have we got here? Stopwatch Hospitality. Lovely Paul Clark says, Vanilla Web, these supercars will be racing at Brands Hatch in a week and a half. Why don't you join us? And it's the Blancpain GTS, and it's happening on May the 7th and 8th, so that's the weekend after next, at Brands Hatch. If you want to get along, follow Stopwatch Hospitality and find out about tickets for that.
Very good. Very good. Do you want another networking email?
Yeah, go for it.
Right, lots of networking with Kent Invicta Chamber. After hours networking, that means before midnight, not after hours as in midnight networking. Maybe someone should invent that.
Midnight networking? I could do that.
I'd be up for that. Mm. So 26th of April at the Mercure. That's the old Great Danes for you old people like me in Maidstone. 27th of April, Canterbury College. That's in Canterbury. 3rd of May, Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre, Dartford. 3rd of May, oh, there's two going on there. The Conningbrook, Ashford. And Thursday the 5th of May, Ramada Dover Hotel, Dover. So that is 6 till 7:30, where you go and get drunk and network. I think that was what that means.
Blimey. Thank you to the FSB for sending me pictures of kittens. Oh, and thank you to Natalie Bonnet. Natalie has come back about the dementia thing, and she says, Paul, dementia is caused when the brain is damaged by diseases such as Alzheimer's. It can happen to young people too. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that, Natalie.
You know, my little nephew has got infantile Alzheimer's.
Really?
Hmm. He's only four.
Oh, that is really heartrending, isn't it? Yeah. Jody Lawler has just tweeted. She says, if you're walking football, is it especially for males, or can I join in? Jody, you can join in.
I think anyone can play it.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you can join in. I'm sure Ancorians will eventually have a men's walking team and a ladies walking team and a junior walking team and a super vets and a really old codger vet team for me to be in and all kinds of things. Jules has tweeted me. But she's tweeted me a picture with not a lot of caption in it that's just an incredibly venomous scorpion.
Oh,
do you think she's trying to tell me something?
She's not eating that. It's
probably.
Not her latest lunch,
what she's like.
Is it?
She'd eat anything.
I hope she's not at home laying in the sun drinking wine and cake.
Right. Oh, quite possibly she is, laying on the slopes at Tankerton. We've had a tweet from East Kent College Apprentices that says, hi, our student Emily is raising money for teenage cancer. Can you help to spread the word, please? And they've got a hashtag inspired by Emily. Of course we can. Emily, good luck with that. Well done. Fantastic cause. Go for it, young lady. And you can follow that on the Twitter at teenage cancer. And Julie Flower. I don't know, Julie. I shouldn't say things like that, should I? Somebody's going to send me a picture of me having dinner with her or something. Hi, Paul. I'm running a strategy intensive, blimey, on the 17th of May at Somerset House, although I am a Kent business. Oh, Somerset House is lovely. It's in Strand. Yeah, for those that don't know.
Strand.
In London. In the Strand.
Oh.
In London.
Oh.
Yeah, Somerset House. Used to be where they kept all the records of births and deaths before they moved it to Cardiff. And now I think it's open to the public, Somerset House, and it's a venue that you can use for things. Obviously, because the lovely Julie Flower is running a workshop there. And she's running a workshop there on the 17th of May, and it's on intensive strategies.
Or
strategic intensive. And you can find out about it by going to her website, which is Julie Flower. That's spelled Flower, julieflower.co.uk. I'll tell you what, Julie, do you want to read one more brief email and then we're going to talk to our first guest?
Right. Calling all Tiger Woods. Come on, get your golf clubs out. Everybody loves a bit of golf and we all know that the men just drink afterwards. So please join us at Nisel's Golf and Country Club on June the 9th for a day of golf fun and networking in aid of three charities, the Lewis Project, Sevenoaks Day Nursery and Bridge Trust. The day is open to chamber members and non-members alike. You can put together two, three or four ball team. So it's £75 a head or £300 for a four ball. And it's 18 holes of golf followed by a hot meal. Early morning tea, coffee, bacon roll to start the day. It starts at 8:30 till 5 o'clock. Anyone can play. Anyone who can't even hit a ball can go.
Blimey.
As long as you've got your golf shoes, you'll be all right. Prizes will be awarded for the best team, individual scores, long pin, short, oh no, longest drive and closest to the pin. You can tell I'm a true golfer.
Long
pin.
Longest pin. Yeah, I could do that.
And everyone has a chance of winning in the raffle. The charity golf day is organised by Sevenoaks. Craig. Oh, it's such a plot, isn't it, for Sevenoaks?
Well, yeah, Nisel's is just down the road from Sevenoaks.
Yeah.
Huh? Sevenoaks Chamber of Commerce. Anyway, all Craig's friends are doing very well out there today.
I was giving it live over...
Shall we just go and let Craig run the show?
Exactly. I was giving it large over lunch, wasn't I? Craig was saying, tell me about the show. And I said, we get listeners from all over the southeast. We even get listeners from America and Turkey and all kinds. And then what do? When we go on air? Everybody's from Sevenoaks. Everyone.
Yeah, everyone must listen into this.
Yeah.
So come on, get registering. It's info@Sevenoaks Chamber. Or the sevenoakschamber.co.uk website will tell you more information. June the 9th for golf, fun and networking. And it doesn't matter what your... Is it par? No, what's the...
Par, P-A-R. Par.
No, what's your handicap?
Oh, your handicap.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mine is an inability to play.
Yeah. So all Craig's friends, because you've all chipped in today. You've
chipped
all
in, chipped
got...
in, chipped in.
Oh,
hello.
Yeah.
Oh, top punning, eh? Top punning.
Don't worry about how long your pins are. Just get down there and book yourself on for this golf day.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Thank you for that, Julie. Do you know what? It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our first guest of the day onto the show.
Yes.
It's delightful to see and meet the lovely Joanne Fowler from... I'm going to start off by introducing you from Hadlow Group.
Okay.
In the hope that you can enlighten us a little bit about what you lot have been up to with your world domination of the educational scene. Give us a little bit of an overview of that, and then we're going to talk about what you're here to talk about, if that's okay.
Okay. Lovely to be here. Mm. Okay, Hadlow Group. Originally, we were Hadlow College, which is a land-based college in Hadlow, near Tonbridge, fairly close to Sevenoaks. And Hadlow has slowly been expanding over the years to have... several sites. We've got three sites in South East London. We do have Princess Christian Farm, which links into the earlier point about young adults with learning difficulties, and they do have realistic work experience there. We also have a site over in Canterbury, and I'm moving my head around, which apparently is not good. I know.
Grab her, someone. Hold her down.
And then on the 1st of August in 2014, Hadlow College acquired the Tunbridge and Ashford campuses of what was K College.
Right, OK.
So Folkestone and Dover went to East Kent College, and Hadlow decided, rather than merging the colleges, they would set up a brand new college called West Kent and Ashford.
Right.
And so that was the Tunbridge Wells campus, and then we have Ashford. It is one college, but when we're in Ashford, we call it Ashford College because Ashford itself has never had a college in the town.
Absolutely. It was all South Kent College.
Exactly. So we have Ashford College for its own community. So we're now almost 2 years in. It's building. We have the new development in Ashford Town Centre. So we're moving the campus from outside on the commercial estates, and we are going directly opposite Ashford International Station.
You are indeed.
Absolutely.
On the corner by Alwick Road.
Absolutely. So a brand new £24 million build. Mm. And there's a real-time camera there, so you can watch it go up, which is quite exciting
fantastic.
At the moment. We are putting commercial businesses in there as well. But I think what makes Hadlow Group different is that about 30% of all our income is commercial.
Right, okay.
So we run commercial businesses, which in turn allows the students to get realistic paid work experience.
That's fantastic.
So when they leave us, they've already got the employability skills that everybody says is vital.
I was just about to be really rude then. I was going to say, well, do you sell carrots or something?
We do sell carrots.
Do
we have two farm shops.
I thought you might.
We don't only just sell carrots, but we also have research and development. So we develop new pepper and tomato strains as well.
Absolutely.
As part of a partnership research and development deal with the university.
Right, okay.
So yeah, we do grow carrots.
I'm sure
sheep.
You do.
We have a commercial dairy herd. Our flock is commercial. Everything we do for horse care is commercial, so we have liveries in place as well.
Right.
And we are extending that over to West Kent and Ashford as well. So the hairdressing salons, the beauty salons, the kitchens, the
restaurants. What's she trying to say? Julie, what's she trying to say? She looked at me then when she mentioned hairdressing.
You haven't got much, have you?
I haven't got any.
No. We can do some scalp care for
can
you.
Can you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I like
a tattoo on your head.
I could
do. That'd look nice.
Like George has got a tattoo.
We can do some therapeutic Indian head massage, anything.
Oh, I'm liking her more and more now.
Absolutely. But all of our curriculums run commercially as well, so vital that young people get that experience.
Cool.
When you say put the commercial business into the new Elwick Road, what do you mean?
Okay, in the Elwick Road design, we have a high-class restaurant going in on the ground floor.
Oh.
So that will be open for lunch and dinner. So our level three professional catering students will be doing the full high-end dining.
Oh, brilliant.
At the moment, that's available on our Tunbridge campus. We've got the big restaurant that overlooks the Weald.
Yeah.
So every Thursday night, you know, big gourmet evenings. We've just, I think last week was the 8-course taste menu.
Wow.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
As well at Elwick Road, we will have the commercial hair and beauty salons as well.
Oh, it's loads going on.
I happen to live in that. I live in Tenterston, which... Mm-hmm. comes under Ashford, and that area where the new college is going, the whole area is being redeveloped in a big development. But as Joanne quite rightly said, it's right on top of the international station as well, so it's a pretty handy place to be too.
It is. And part of the construction development for Elwick is we have managed to get work experience, apprenticeships, all built into the contracting as well.
So
the contractor who's building the college has to give us so many work experiences, so many apprenticeships.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
It's not rocket science, really, is it? But it's amazing how these things have never really happened before. And that night, she's really good at this, isn't she? That's nicely sets us up.
That's because she's the business development director for the Hadlow Group apprentices.
So she's smart and clever, and she knows what she's doing.
About.
Yeah,
well,
she's
told me that apprentices are as easy as ABC.
Really?
I know, Joe, and she was telling me this recently, and I said, well, not in the construction industry. It's a slight nightmare. None of us know what forms to fill in, and we don't know what we're doing. And Joe presented me with this amazing slideshow to explain the changes.
That she just happened to have in her handbag. There you go. Look at that. Yep.
She's coming to present to the Kent Construction Focus Group soon. And it's going to explain how the scheme's changing, but Joe should tell us more about this.
Yeah,
it's going to make life easier.
Yeah.
And
it's something I want to talk to Joe about from all kinds of points of view. Mm-hmm. But it's something that we really do need to address. Funnily enough, I can't tell you about that because we haven't sent it out yet. We're going to send out an email fairly soon, we being the Federation of Small Business, in response to something the government had just announced about youth employment. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of move on and talk a bit, if we may. And we wish you the best of luck in the Hadlow Group with the development of Ashford College. It's a fantastic thing. And Ashford has needed its own college for a long, long time. And the old South Kent College was a bit of a dump. The building, it was horrible. I've spent the last few years doing quite a few workshops in the various colleges and universities around Kent, and I did quite a few there, and the building, you know, you get your head dripped on while you're in there because there's a hole in the roof and stuff like that. So
we did do quite a bit of remedial work on it.
Did you? Yeah. But maybe it was just me then.
Yeah, we made it watertight.
yeah. Not when I was there, but I did it. Anyway, enough of that. We wish you much luck with that. And do you know when it's due to open?
September 2017.
Right, okay.
So we are decamping next summer.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Mm. I want to move on now and talk to you about apprenticeships.
Okay.
If we can. You were saying to us before we came on air that there's some movement, there's some changes, there's some things happening in the world of apprenticeships. Maybe it would be easier if I just say to you, tell us about apprenticeships.
Right, okay. Apprenticeships as they are now are literally a job with training. So the young person has to be employed.
Yep.
So it's a first job or a second job. And the apprenticeship framework, as it is now, follows the job.
Yep.
And that's the biggest issue. We do get young people coming in and saying, I want to do a higher level apprenticeship, a degree level apprenticeship, or an advanced apprenticeship. Truth is, if it's your first job, it will be an intermediate level apprenticeship because it follows the job.
Yep.
What we are facing is quite a seismic shift, because at the moment, all the funding for apprenticeships is channeled through colleges or training providers.
Yep.
Okay, so we get a nice big contract and we have millions of pounds, literally millions of pounds.
Oh, I like her more and more. She's rich as well.
To fund apprenticeships of all ages across the county.
Yep.
What is happening over the next 4 years, so it's a gradual transition rather than cut off, is that funding is now being channeled through employers. So if you took on a 16-year-old as an apprentice now, you would not have to pay for the training.
Okay.
That is all fully funded through the government.
Right.
In 2 to 3 years, you are going to have to put your hand in your pocket to pay up front, but the government will pay you back in a series of grants more than you put in.
Okay.
Okay, so it is beneficial in the future.
Right.
But businesses will have to put their hands in their pocket, and physical cash, real cash, will have to change hands.
And is that to the training providers? So I have to pay the training provider?
If you want to pay a specific training provider, yes, you as an employer will commission the training.
Right, okay.
Okay, so you can say who is going to deliver what and where, as long as it fits the requirements of the new standards.
Right.
So it is...
So they have to be an accredited trainer, basically.
Yes, it has to be. The training provider has to be on a central register.
Right.
And that's where we would go as companies to find them?
Yes, you would. You would go to the what they call ROTO, which is a register of training organisations. Right. And that is held on, I think, the gov.uk website.
Okay.
So everybody has to be registered, but you have choice. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the difference is that you have to pay.
Right. Yeah.
But you claim the money back in a series of grants.
And do you know what that process involves in terms of claiming it back? Because without, you probably don't, and probably this is another government. I can't even think of a work cock up. there's no other way of describing it because they're useless.
I think you get it back through your payroll, don't you?
Yeah.
It depends on the size of the employer.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you're an employer whose payroll is over 3 million gross,
yeah,
it will come out through HMRC. So right. It comes out through your PAYE. So it is essentially the same as your pension contributions.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And then you can claim that back through a series of grants. The government are putting a digital apprenticeship service online, and I don't know what the time frame is for that to come online yet, except that all we know is that by April 2017, the first levy, so if you've got your payroll in excess of 3 million, your first levy payment will come out in April 2017. As an employer, you cannot opt out of that levy.
Right.
If you're a non-levy paying employer, you have notional money to spend, but you still have to pay up front and then claim the money back.
Right.
It sounds like a bureaucratic nightmare.
It does.
Yeah. But at Hadlow, we are aiming to do all of that for you.
Okay.
So hooray!
Hooray!
Yeah. I mean, would that be funny? And this is, I don't expect you to answer this. This is typical of politicians making a mess of something. Most employment in the UK now, most new employment is generated by SMEs, by a country mile. Oh. Most big corporates are now job negative. And the problem is, anything like this will immediately deter SMEs who go, I ain't got time to do that.
Yeah, but if they can go online and fill in the digital apprenticeship scheme application form, and it's simple like it could be good.
Or better still, if West Kent College can come along and go, don't worry about it, we'll sort that out for you. If they can do that, then I go, yep, okay, I'm cooking on gas and I'm with you.
Everyone's trying to make it simpler. Certainly the colleges are.
Yeah.
It's just the government's in the way.
That's the problem. It's the problem always with politicians.
I think it is worth saying that there was an announcement last week, so a little bit more information has come out. If you are a small employer, under 50 employees, the government has pledged that you will get your money back within 3 months. So they have taken notice of the cash flow issue.
For me, with my other hats on and talking to small businesses who we are desperately trying to get to take on apprentices, anything that smacks of being remotely difficult, bureaucratic or filling forms in, people just go, do you know what? I'm not interested. That's what worries me.
But if businesses could know that they could go to Hadlow College West Kent College and all these colleges, because I know Mid Kent College are trying to do a simple scheme,
exactly,
and East Kent College, so they're all trying to do it. If we can get them, and I think that they're doing it.
If someone will do it for you or help you or whatever, then
we just
that's
need hand-holding, don't they?
Yeah, that's, you know, all the way down the line, this has been what was causing problems with apprenticeships in the UK. It started off, and I'm talking purely from an SME point of view here, not from bigger businesses. One of the reasons that there was a poor uptake in apprenticeships in the first place is SMEs didn't understand it. A lot of us that run SMEs are old codgers, and we remember the City and Guilds apprenticeships from years back, and a lot of us were apprentices years back, and we couldn't get our heads around the fact that the apprenticeship thing had changed out of all recognition, and we couldn't reconcile the two, so we just ignored it until it got to the point where we were so desperate for staff that we thought, well, maybe we shouldn't ignore it anymore, and then people started to adopt apprenticeships and it took off.
I think the important thing to remember about apprenticeships as they are now and will be is it is still the only 360 degree training offer on the table that is government funded. So you will have a combination of taught knowledge and skills, and then the 360 part is what makes the apprenticeship different, in that the apprentice is then assessed applying those skills in the workplace. So a young boy or girl comes into college, they may well be doing their level 2 City and Guilds full time as a student. If they're an apprentice, they're doing that same qualification 1 day a week, not 36 weeks a year.
Yep.
Okay. And they are working for the other 30 weeks. So it's a really tough call.
Sure.
But they do get that 360, and you should, as an employer, be absolutely, I can't think of the word, but you should be confident
yeah.
that not only are they having those skills taught and they're acquiring that knowledge, but they're also applying it.
Absolutely. And I actually have some apprentices working for me at the moment, and I'm absolutely, it's brilliant. They're fabulous. They're really great. Hi, guys. They're really great. They're doing a fabulous job. They're really on the ball and all the rest of it. Don't have a problem with any of that. My only concern is bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a turn off. And from a small business point of view, somebody just tweeted as well. Dialer Brain just tweeted saying, yeah, but small businesses create most of the jobs. How are we going to cope with it? You know, this is the message that you're going to get. SMEs don't like it. You know, we've already this year had about a dozen things imposed on us, from auto enrollment all the way through. And all you get are threats from the government that says, if you don't do this, you get fined. If you don't do this, you get fined. Mm-hmm. If you don't do this. So my worry is anything that smacks of bureaucracy is an excuse for people to go, do you know what? I'm just not going to bother. Yeah. And we can't afford that. But what I do like is your response to it.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like, is that you're going, don't worry about it, Paul. Mop your brow for you. We'll take care of you.
Absolutely. And yeah. that has always been the ethos.
There's more colleges yeah. trying yeah. to do that. Yeah. And they're actually yeah. working quite collaboratively together
yeah.
to try
Which
and make
good.
This happen.
Which is excellent, because that's what we need. You know, we just don't need any more bureaucracy. It's not just bureaucracy, because it's not difficult. As you said, it's an online thing. You know, you 10 minutes and it's done. But the problem is people just, you know, any excuse to not do it, and they won't do it, kind of thing. So I love what you're doing.
I think that's right. But you have to remember as well, we're playing with taxpayers' money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my
yeah,
money,
absolutely.
Your money,
yeah.
everybody's money. So,
okay. Cool. So, and when does this new scheme start?
It starts the transition from next month, and it is a 4-year transition.
Mm.
So we are slowly moving over to the new scheme. My one word of advice to anybody who's never taken on an apprentice would use the next 12 months to take one on
right.
before you have to put your hand in your pocket.
Yeah.
So you may as well try the scheme out, see if it works for your business. But up until, you know, you have to pay for it, try it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, it, when you say you pay for it and you can't get back, I mean, it's not, we're not talking about huge amounts of money here.
We are talking thousands.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, they're not in the overall scheme of things, in terms of employing people, it's not huge amounts of people relative to the salaries that you pay someone that's not an apprentice.
No, but isn't the funding pot indicated at about £11,000 on an apprentice?
It depends what apprentice you take. So there is a different cap applied
like
to
a level,
each,
yeah.
yeah, to each framework. So at the moment, a training provider gets around £5,000, say, for a business administration apprentice to deliver the whole
and
training
package. And you can claim
package.
That all back.
In the future, the employer will be able to claim more of that back. So this time next year, you will be paying £4,000 up front.
Okay.
And in 3 months after that, you'll be able to claim about £5,000 back.
Right. So that's where they've incentivised it. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. And as we move towards the new standards, the government has pledged to contribute £2 to every £1 the employer puts in. So for very technical frameworks, the employer may have to contribute up to £9,000, but the government will put in £18,000. So for the big engineering...
Oh, it's definitely something there for helping people develop a career then, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely. So again, if you're a small employer...
Are students, or I don't know what you call them, children, kids, learners...
students,
young
learners...
People,
yeah. Young adults.
What's the real word? The people that come to your college, are they excited about apprentices routes more than obsessed with going to unis now, do you think?
We are getting far more interest from young people about apprenticeships as an alternative to what equates to £50,000 worth of debt through
yeah.
a degree.
Mm. I will tell you something that I know as a fact through the data we collect at Jobs in Kent.
Mm.
Now,
mm.
in 2016, apprentices earn more in lifetime value than most graduates.
Yeah. I think the other interesting point is in the early 90s, the average wage for a graduate was £14,000, so for a first job.
Yeah.
The average wage for a graduate in 2015, was £13,500.
Yeah.
The average wage for an apprentice in Kent So a 16, 17-year-old is about £12,000 to £14,000.
It is, yeah.
Do you think it's good, because this is something we've tried at our company, we've started to offer work experience.
Yep.
Well, we've always offered it, but we're trying to promote it more to schools so that they send people along. And then try them as though you're kind of like, you're sussing them out as an employer and their work experience. And then you could offer them like a month's intern.
Yeah.
And then you haven't got into the rigmarole of paperwork and funding and apprentice schemes and setting up training before you've actually kind of tried, before you go down that route. Because
absolutely,
we've just tried that and we've taken somebody on now and we're going to offer them an apprentice scheme. But how can we get away from young people being long-term interns? Because that must be illegal.
Well, it's not. It's not, and it's up to the young person, ultimately. If they want to get into a sector or a specific career, then they will go in for unpaid work experience for as long as it takes them to get a paid employment.
Like, well, my daughter and my son were 6 months unpaid intern, and the company that somebody I know's son went to, they operate on, well, when you get fed up with it, you can leave and I'll just take another.
Yeah.
Isn't it bad?
It is.
Well, funny enough, I've had a question, if you don't mind, if you've got a view on this, from Chris Hyde of Chameleon Genics. And he says, RAP, Vanilla Webb, the lady from the college, do you think that even though it was a while ago that the youth training scheme, YTS, actually damaged the reputation of apprenticeships amongst small businesses? I think my personal view of it is it isn't any one particular scheme. What damages, no, it's not even damage. What puts people off is the constant chopping and changing. You know, every time a government changes, they change the name. You know, we had Sure Start, we had this. You know, the new inline cut, scrap everything, start again, come up with exactly the same scheme and call it something different. And, you know, that's what puts SMEs off, is this constant battle to keep up with what's going on. There's no consistency.
There isn't, and we do love an acronym. If you can put an acronym, we absolutely love it. But you're right, the short-term nature of a lot of these programs is really confusing. But essentially, they're just reworking the wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
Reworking the wheel.
Yeah.
What we do need, and Julie's right, we need more and more employers to offer meaningful work experience.
Mm.
And that's not about making the tea. Mm. It's actually about meaningful work experience. My son is 18. He did his work experience with us in the college.
She doesn't look old enough, does she? Come on, got to get me quick at this.
No.
Yeah.
She is. But he did his work experience with us. And for me and the apprenticeship team, it was a fantastic learning curve to see it from his viewpoint.
Yeah. Mm.
He's now gone and secured his advanced apprenticeship in business. So he's no longer working with me, thank goodness, because it is quite embarrassing with your son in the office.
Yeah.
But he's now secured his apprenticeship on that. But we learned so much by actually how much he was capable of doing.
Yeah.
You know, we had him handling data queries, funding queries. We had him rehashing a brand new filing system, which was brilliant, and he got paid for it.
Yeah.
But Julie's quite right. It's an ideal opportunity. And interestingly, at West Kent, Ashford and Hadlow, we've just run the destination service. We know that 90% of our young people who do work experience get employed by that employer.
Absolutely.
So do you offer a lot of work experience?
We have to. So if you're 16 to 18 on a full-time program in the college, you must have work experience as part of that course.
I've had a tweet here from Jodie Lawler, and Jodie, who I happen to know, although she hasn't said this, is an apprentice.
Yep.
Okay, and she's an apprentice at E-commerce Workroom in Canterbury, and she says uni scared me.
Mm-hmm.
You get so much debt now. And being in a tight economy, young people just have no chance. It is unreal. Much prefer doing an apprenticeship.
Correct.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Perhaps there's some apprentices out there who could tweet in to us how they found the scheme, or whether they know that their employer found it a nightmare and they've just set it up themselves.
Yeah. Ben, you could tweet me. Do you know Ben? Ben
no.
Towers. Very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Ben is 17. He's been running his own business since he was 11. And in order to leave school at 16, he hired himself as his own apprentice.
I do know who you're talking about.
So we need more of that as well, because I like that, bucking the system.
And do you think that at some point, I don't know which year this happened, but suddenly apprentices, that word, became like, oh, well, if you can't go to uni, you better get an apprenticeship. And it was almost like it wasn't as valuable as what they are. And now we're trying to turn it round. It's a bit like where you're trying to turn round and shift that name of that college that you don't want to mention that you took over. It's where you're trying to get rid of a bad word. But it wasn't a bad word because years ago, like our mums and dads, they all had apprenticeships, and that's what was classed as the thing to get, wasn't it?
And I think that's changed now. And I think the young people, more than anything, realise that they have choices. And some people want to go to university. Some people want to do apprentices. Some people want to stay in bed all day. Don't you, boys? Sorry, that was a personal thing. I think the options are there now.
And I think the other thing we're forgetting is that young people, I mean, apprenticeships aren't just for the young.
Absolutely.
They are for any new job. Anybody entering any organisation. If they're new
any
stature.
Age?
Yeah, any age. In fact, there are more apprentices over the age of 25 than under.
What about 72?
No, we are meant to use common sense. Because you have to sort of be...
You're out.
So I can't do one. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Well, I don't know if this is your new job, then we could justify. But young people are becoming real consumers. They know what they want, and they're really, really vocal when they don't get what they're expecting.
Okay.
So that does pull the standards right up.
Because I think employers really value apprentices.
Yeah, they do.
We really just want more of them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We've reached that point in the show where we're going to have a little break. Okay. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to Joanne from the Hadlow Group and West Kent College about all the things that's going on there, the new colleges in Ashford, the new apprenticeship schemes. We could have talked about it forever, unfortunately, but we have to have a break. And just to really annoy you, I've got this coming up.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.